The womb rattles its pod. The moon discharges itself from the tree with nowhere to go. My landscape is a hand with no lines. The rods bunched to a knot. The knot myself. Myself the rose you achieve. This body, this ivory. Ungodly as a child's shriek. Spider-like, I spin mirrors, loyal to my image. Uttering nothing but blood, taste it, dark red, and my forest, my funeral, and this hill, and this clearing with the mouths of corpses. Hello, hello, hello. My name is Angela Merkel, and I am the Chancellor of Germany. Now, I am often asked why it is that I do not have children. I have been very successful in my life as a porn star in East Germany in the 1970s, and then more recently, of course, as the Chancellor of Germany. But it is something that is a very painful thing for me and in my heart to have to deal with, that I have never been a mother and I have never had children. It brings out many difficult emotions in me. Of course, it is said of we Germans that we are a very unemotional people, but sometimes we kind of explode. I did a little diagram about this, and you can see that of all of the people in the film Inside Out, the Germans are perhaps sometimes the most emotional. But why is it? Why did I never have children? It interests me a great deal. And who are the kind of people like me who don't have children? And I asked a friend of mine who lives in Oulu in northern Finland and is an Englishman why it is that we Germans have elected a chancellor like me who does not have children, and who are the kinds of people who do not have children. And he said he would be very happy to look into this. So hello, hello, hello. So today I'd like to look into an issue which a lot of you have been asking me about, which is who are the kinds of people who don't have children. Childlessness is an increasing issue in Western countries, and currently among women who are in their 40s, 25% of them are childless and are thus likely to remain childless. The number among men is a little bit more difficult to estimate because, of course, they can have children late into life. But there is clearly a childlessness epidemic in Western countries, and this is going to have serious consequences for the care of elderly people in Western countries many years hence. So who are the kinds of people that, like Angela Merkel, and like the First Minister of Scotland, and like various other prominent women in public life, don't have children? Well, there was an interesting study by Avison and Fernham on this, and they looked at the personality traits of the kind of people who don't have children. And what they found is that wanting to remain childless, being voluntarily childless, is associated with low agreeableness, with low extroversion, with low religiousness, and if you are an early adopter of this attitude, i.e. if at a very early age you decide you don't want to have children, with high openness. So let's have a look at these. What would low agreeableness mean? Low agreeableness would mean that you'd want to look after yourself only. You'd be a fundamentally selfish person. Obviously, having children would mean you'd have to invest your energies and your resources in other people, in looking after them and their interests. And so, if you were a nasty person, a selfish person, then you wouldn't want to do that. So it makes sense that a person who was low in agreeableness, who was basically highly individualistic and was totally out for themselves, would not particularly want to have children, because this would force them to think about other people, and they hate doing that, and they're bad at it. The second is low extroversion. Well, extroversion agreeableness is altruism. Extroversion is about feeling positive feelings strongly. Now, one of the things that causes is people to take risks. If they take risks, they get the big payoff. So if you take the risk of, doing some extreme sport or something, then you're going to get some massive payoff, some massive feeling of joy when everything goes right and you manage to succeed. I'm playing with the lights here. So yes, it would make sense, therefore, that you take risks if you're an extrovert, and one of those risks you will take will be sexual risks, and so consequently you're more likely to get someone pregnant or to get pregnant if you are an extrovert. So it makes sense that introversion is associated with not having children. The next is low religiousness. Well, religiousness tends to take evolutionarily adaptive ideas, such as passing on your genes and going forth and multiplying and being fruitful and all this kind of thing, and it makes those into the will of God. So it would make sense that people that were highly religious, if they truly believed in what their religion was saying, would want to have children. And also, as I've looked at in my video on this and in my paper, The Mutant Says in His Heart There Is No God, there is evidence that at the genetic level, people that are highly religious are adaptive in other ways. They tend to have elevated physical health, genetically elevated mental health, and other such evidence that they are low in mutational load. So people who are religious can be seen as a kind of genetic norm. We've been under Darwinian selection, as I discussed before, harsh Darwinian selection, until about 1800, and we were selecting for religiousness, and we were selecting for intelligence, and we were selecting for a kind of agreeable pro-social personality. We know that religiousness is 40%, about 0.4 genetic. We know that religiousness is associated with fertility. We know that religiousness is associated with other adaptive things. For example, there's a specific area, religiousness has been shown to be associated with parts of the brain that make you more ethnocentric, for example, which is an adaptive thing, because the more positively and negatively ethnocentric the group is, the more likely it is to survive and flourish in computer models. Religiousness is seen in all cultures, and so religion is something that was under selection. And so religious people are a remnant normal population, that being religious correlates with other remnant being, you know, health and genetic health and so on. And so you would expect them, of course, because they're religious, to have other adaptive instincts, such as passing on their genes. As for early adoption of it, this is associated with high openness. This is very interesting, because it implies that if you're open to openness, intellect is the general personality trait, and this makes you interested in all kinds of intellectual things and pursuits and whatever. And so it may be that precisely because you are open to unusual things, to strange things, you would unusual, if you like, things which are not particularly adaptive even, but just unusual, then you would be open to not having children. So the idea would be that under evolutionary conditions, it's been perfectly helpful and normal to be high in openness, because there's been a certain amount of stress, and that stress has meant that you're still, even though you're highly open, you're still highly instinctive, and even though you're highly open, you still want to have children. Once this stress is taken away, and stress is associated with religiousness, which makes you want, which seems to elevate the desire to have children as well, so once the stress is taken away, then you're in a sort of evolutionary mismatch where you're very high in openness, but the other instinctive desires have collapsed, and so consequently you no longer want to have children. Another possibility would be that the dominant ideology of the society, i.e. anti-natalism and childlessness, and it's good for women to have a career and not have children, and all these kinds of maladaptive ideology has taken over society. And if you're high in openness, then it may well be, openness correlates with being subject to hypnosis, then you're very easy to indoctrinate, and so you'd be more easily indoctrinated by the dominant ideology of the society, and for that reason as well, you'd be less likely to have children, so, and less likely to want to have children. So that would make sense as well, as we've looked at in other videos. The with the collapse of Darwinian selection, then you have 40% child mortality collapses down to 1% child mortality. The brain is 84% of the genome, and therefore it's a massive target for mutation. Those that would have been killed under these harsh Darwinian selections as children would have had mutant genes of the body, giving them things, meaning they die of things like measles or whatever. Mutant genes of the body tend to call it mutant genes of the mind. As a consequence, as these people with mutant genes of the body survive, you're going to get more and more people with mutant genes of the mind surviving. Mutant genes of the mind, which would make you maladaptive under Darwinian conditions. These will make you advocate maladaptive ideas, such as not wanting to have children, or whatever it may be. You will then reach positions of power in the society, you will influence others to not want to have children, and therefore you will be particularly influential over those who are high in openness. And so it would make sense that those who are subject to hypnosis, and so it would make sense that those that are high in openness would not want to have children. Now moving on from, this was British research by the way, moving on from research in Skirkbeck, found that in Norway, since 1957, but not before it, being neurotic, high neuroticism, that is to say mental instability, among men is negatively associated with having children. This may be because female life history strategy, you know, how quickly you live life, has slowed down since the 1920s. People tend to get married later and have children later and so on. And so this allows women to be more sort of picky, if you like, and to sort of not have to get married very quickly. And so they're more able to avoid mentally unstable men. And so mentally unstable men don't end up getting married. So that's the first predictor then. It's a certain kind of personality that predicts not wanting to have children. People who are low in agreeableness, low in religiousness, low in extroversion. And you can see that Angela Merkel, for example, we would say that Angela Merkel is clearly an introvert. I don't know how high in agreeableness she is. She's not particularly religious. So we can see what's going on there. The second issue is intelligence. Angela Merkel is clearly a highly intelligent woman. I understand she's a trained scientist. The research, you will find this research in a book by Satoshi Kanazawa, and he notes that among women, the women who want to have children have an IQ of 99. Women who don't want to have children have an IQ of 105.5. Men who want to have children have an IQ of 100. Men who don't want to have children have an IQ of 104.3. So something about being highly intelligent makes you not want to have children. This is also partly mediated by education. So again, the more educated a woman is, the less likely she is. She's literally less likely to desire children. Well, what's going on here? Well, one of the things that predicts doing well in the world of in the world of education, and of course also is associated at 0.3 with intelligence, is simply intellect. So you're interested in ideas, you're interested in theoretical things, and all this. And you can see how having children wouldn't be congruous with those kinds of interests. That would take away time from intellectual pursuits and all the kinds of fascinating things you would want to do. And so you can see how intelligence and education, in that sense, would militate against wanting to have children. A second possibility, as has been suggested by my colleague Gerhard Meisenberg, is that the more intelligent you become, the better you are at rationalising everything. And one of the things you can, of course, then rationalise is having children. You can literally stand outside in a very unemotional way, and you can see children in terms of cost and in terms of benefit and whatever, and you can rationalise that you would prefer not to have children. You will reason to yourself that, well, the human race will carry on. I mean, other people will have children, and so I won't have children, and I will enjoy my intellectual pursuits and that kind of thing. A third possibility, and myself and Dimitri van der Linden have looked at this in an article, is that the more intelligent you are, the better able you are to solve problems. The better able you are to solve problems, the better able you are to not be governed by your instincts, to kind of stand outside these and look at things in a very intellectual way, and in a rational, cold way, and that helps you to solve problems. And so consequently, it would follow that people that were high in intelligence would be more able to suppress their instincts, even less instinctive, less having our cognitive biases towards certain forms of behaviour, or our instincts towards certain forms of behaviour. And therefore, the more intelligent you were, the less instinctive you'd be, and the less likely, perhaps even, that you would have an instinct to breed. But these are the second group that is not having children. It is those who are high in intelligence. Industrial societies. Until around 1800, intelligence was, and wealth and education were associated with having children, because socioeconomic status predicted the number of surviving children that you had. The richer 50% of the society had about double the complete fertility of the poorer 50% of the society, and this was because the richer 50% of the society were better able to protect their children against higher child mortality. they were wealthier, so there was massive child mortality among the poor. The poor may well have had lots of children, but those children were more likely to die. The rich may well not have had as many children, but those children were more likely to survive. Now, 1800, for various reasons I've looked at in other videos, this starts to change, because you have this, you have the Industrial Revolution creates a massive expansion of public health, and therefore the child mortality rate collapses. That's the first thing. And then the second reason is things like the uptake of contraception, which is taken up first among the higher social classes, and they therefore start to limit their fertility, and you end up with a situation where there is now a negative association of about 0.1 between fertility and intelligence. And clearly, as we've seen, people who are more intelligent simply don't want to have children. Now, the next issue which predicts breeding is what's called K strategy. Again, we've looked at this in other videos, but I'll quickly summarise it for anyone that's new. So you have how you live life can be conceived of as a spectrum between a fast life history strategy and a slow life history strategy, in a context in which the ecology is unstable yet relatively easy. Then the solution is to live fast and die young, because you need to pass on your genes as quickly as possible. Consequently, you become evolved towards having sex and having lots of sex and investing all your energy in copulation and investing, therefore, very little energy in nurture. You don't really nurture the children. You just have sex and hope that some of them survive. As the ecology reaches its carrying capacity for the particular species, because it becomes harsher and more predictable, then things start to change. You reach the carrying capacity and members of the species start to compete against each other. How do they compete against each other? They do this by going for quality over quantity. They invest more energy in the offspring. They invest more in nurture, such that the offspring can survive the harsh yet predictable ecology. And so this alters the whole nature of how people behave, and it makes them more inclined towards nurture. And so in an ecology like that, you could have lots and lots of offspring, but they'd all just die because they wouldn't be able to cope with the harsh ecology. So you have fewer offspring, and you invest more energy in nurturing them. As this happens, of course, you're going to be better able to nurture if you're higher in traits like agreeableness and conscientiousness, which is rule following. And so this thing of agreeableness and conscientiousness and what's called general factor of personality, which is being highly pro-social, tends to go together with a K strategy, with a so-called slow life history strategy. Now, in modern times, being a K strategist, that is to say, a slow life history strategist, predicts having children increasingly. It probably always has done, because we were probably always selecting for general factor of personality under Darwinian conditions, because it is to do with cooperation and rule following, and under conditions of group selection, the group which is more internally cooperative, more positively ethnocentric, has been shown by computer models to be more likely to survive. So we were probably always selecting for this, but it seems that we're now, and that's why, as is shown in Greg Clark's book, The Farewell to Arms, we become less cruel and more empathetic over time, abolishing cruel sports and cruelty to children and this sort of thing, so you can see how that we're selecting even more for this K strategy. We're becoming more and more and more K, i.e. slow life history selective. One of the reasons for this is probably that with the development of contraception, people who are K strategists, who are fast life history strategists, who are inclined to have lots of sex, can do this and avoid having children. Now, of course, they don't want to have children. Their having children is a consequence of their having lots of sex and their desire to have lots of sex. But take away the consequence of sex, i.e. children, and they're more than happy. So therefore, they will be inclined to use contraception. And so therefore, they avoid having children. And the other thing is, of course, that in modern societies, we have this infrastructure which tracks down errant fathers and makes them pay up, i.e. makes them invest, makes them nurture. And so again, they can avoid this, and so they want to avoid this, and so this is independent of intelligence, remember, so they do, and so consequently it is these K strategists that want to have children. R strategists tend not to have children. Now, one of the things that seems to predict getting to the top of politics to some extent is being a highly intelligent R strategist. Very high people who get right to the top of politics tend to be extremely intelligent people. Now, this predicts, of course, not wanting to have children, but they also have to be quite sort of ruthless and selfish and manipulative and almost psychopathic, really. And there's an interesting study on this by a guy called Post. Those who are get to politics, they tend to have these traits. So you can see the two traits which predict what not wanting to have children, i.e. very high intelligence, and if you like an R strategy or a moderate R strategy, a moderate fast life history strategy, would also predict getting to the top of politics. So that is the next thing. Now the next thing that predicts not wanting to have children is simply having materialistic values. And there was a very, very interesting paper that's been published on this called Too Materialistic to Get Married and Have Children. It was published in Plus One. And it found that if you prime people, priming is this process whereby you essentially sort of hypnotise people and therefore kind of get into their unconscious mind and therefore you can kind of influence them, rather like Derren Brown does. This is priming. So you prime them with materialism. You prime them with vignettes of luxury and going shopping and getting lots of luxurious stuff and whatever. If you do this, then their desire to have children, as they rate in surveys and in instruments, seems to go down. So the more materialistic you are, the less inclined you are to have children. In other words, the richer you are, the wealthier you are, then the more disinclined you are to have children. Now, this is quite interesting in terms of the rise and fall of civilizations, because what you tend to see is that the civilization gets very, very wealthy. You see it with Rome, you see it with Greece, you see it with our own civilization, I suppose, perhaps as well. The civilization gets very, very wealthy, and then the civilization starts to fall. People stop wanting to have children. They stop breeding. And it's those at the very top of society, the very, very wealthy, the very, very successful, who seem to be the most inclined to do this. They stop being religious and they stop wanting to have children. And this was noticed in ancient Greece. It was noticed in ancient Rome. Augustus noticed it and imposed a tax on childless men. And they were prepared to pay the tax because they simply didn't want to have children. Because there's something about being really, really rich and wealthy and feeling that everything's okay and low child mortality and all this that makes you perhaps very low in stress, which means you're very low in religiousness, which is going to militate against having children, very low in stress, very low in instinct, and so this militates against the instinct to have children, very, very low in stress, and thus very rational, and thus able to rationalise not having children, or just something else, we're not quite sure, which means that if everything's fine and you're extremely wealthy, an optimum level of just total satisfaction is reached, where it was unnaturally good, then you don't want to have children. And as the society becomes wealthier, then this will trickle all the way down the society. And wanting to have children is associated with mortality salience. So if you're surrounded by death, particularly when you're young, then you want to have children. It's associated with childhood stress. It's associated basically with the opposites of this, with being stressed, with being poor. If you think you might be wiped out at any moment, then you desire for some reason, although this could be argued to be an R strategy situation, but it elevates the desire to have children, presumably because you want to get on with it, because you want to make sure that you pass on something, you need to get on with it, or at least not have children, but at least to it causes you to have children. So it's not that you desire to have children, but you end up having children as a consequence of this, presumably because you're R strategist. I mean, this was a study that found this with non-Western cultures. So if they're unstable and whatever, they want to have children. They end up having them. People who in modern populations who are like this, who have had unpleasant childhoods or whatever, they end up having children because it turns them into these impulsive people, and they just sort of live for the now and they don't really think and they don't really plan. And this would perhaps include with contraception use as well. So what's going on? Why is it that how has this happened, basically? Well, with regard to the materialism thing, one possibility is what we would call an evolutionary mismatch. So this is the idea that we are evolved to play for status, but we are not evolved to be this rich. Becoming this rich has happened so quickly that we're not adapted to it. And so as a consequence, we continue playing for status, even in a situation of being as wealthy as this. And the only way we can begin to win this battle for status is by reducing our fertility to the extent, perhaps, of not even having any children at all. So that's one possibility that would seem to explain the materialism thing. It seems to be the problem with this is that this happens always. This has happened in Rome. This has happened in Greece. This is something that's happened throughout civilization. And this has happened in contexts in which people have not reached anything like as much wealth as a society as we have. So perhaps something else is going on. What may be happening is almost a natural process to help ensure that the species survives. Now, if you're familiar with John Calhoun's mouse experiment, what he shows is that if you take away evolution, essentially, you take away Darwinian conditions, then what eventually happens is that you have this build-up of mutant genes that would have otherwise been washed out under conditions of Darwinian selection. And the result is that the males become increasingly feminine, the females become increasingly masculine, and thus neither want to breed. And among those with whom this doesn't happen, the normal systems which help make mice optimally adaptive break down. The mice are thrown out of their nest too young by these aggressive mothers. They don't develop proper social skills. They don't end up breeding. No one ends up breeding, and the colony collapses and everyone dies out. Now, we have a problem here with intelligence. It could be argued that intelligence, above a certain point or in a certain context, is maladaptive. Very high intelligence seems to be associated with not wanting to have children. It seems to be associated with being so intellectual that you rationalize everything, including the having of children. It seems to be associated with allergies. It seems to be associated with various other with autism. It seems to be associated with various other problems that would make you maladaptive. If therefore, if society kept on getting more and more intelligent, then ultimately it would completely die out. And so something needs to hit in to stop society getting essentially too intelligent, and that would perhaps be the negative association between intelligence and a desire for children when a certain level of development is reached. And so it may be that this is part of what's happening, that when a certain level of that it's built into us that intelligence will bring about a society of extreme luxury, and that extreme luxury makes people who are very intelligent not want to breed, and so consequently intelligence doesn't get too high, and thus maladaptive and destructive. A second issue may be population density. So intelligence, again, intelligence will bring about this society that is incredibly luxurious, but also very population dense. Once we are in situations of high population density, we don't like it, and therefore we decide to bring down the population, and it is intelligence that predicts wanting to bring down the population. And so again, intelligence acts as this inherent limit on society killing itself, because presumably if it became too dense and there was nothing to bring this down, it would just collapse into fighting and violence and just collapse down in an even more dramatic and unpleasant way, or it would be killed by an unpredicted famine or whatever it happens to be. So intelligence seems to do this. It is part. It induces this desire not to breed in certain contexts, and thus prevents the society from becoming so intelligent that it is maladaptive. And it is completely destroyed. Another thing, of course, that's going to happen is that once the society would get becomes too luxurious and too in control of itself, you're going to get this dysgenics. You're going to get more and more people who aren't adapted to survive, surviving and passing on their genes and passing on their various genetic illnesses and so on. Now, if this carries on, as we see in the Mouse Utopia, it will get to a point where nobody wants to have children at all, and the whole species dies out. This has to be stopped. And one way that it could be stopped is by the fact that as this process of dysgenics occurs, at the same time, it's going to create a luxurious environment which is going to induce people who have high intelligence and high openness to not have children, and therefore to cause the collapse of that environment, the wiping, which is sustaining these people who are high in mutational load, the collapse of that environment, conditions getting worse, Darwinian selection reintroducing itself, and these people being killed off and dying out before the society becomes so dysgenic that it simply can't come back from what it's done to itself, which is what you see in the Mouse Utopia. So again, it may be that this is why intelligent people, in this context of extreme luxury and extreme success as an ecology, don't want to have children. So I don't know. It's an idea anyway. It's an idea I've been toying with. I don't know if I'm right, but I'd be interested to know what people think about it. Now, the other thing, of course, we have to think about is the danger to society that we have from childless people. Obviously, as we've seen, childless people tend to be very, very materialistic. They tend to be selfish. They tend to be individualistic. This is a problem because it means they are low in ethnocentrism, and they will push the society in a direction of low ethnocentrism, where people are less prepared to cooperate and make sacrifices for the good of society. And computer models have shown that it is societies that are the opposite of that, that are high ethnocentrism, that all else being equal, tend to dominate in the battle of group selection. So that consequently, these people that don't have children on that level can be seen, if there's too many of them, can be seen, they will push society in a maladaptive direction, and they will cause that society to contract. Now, at the broader sort of species level, survival of humanity, perhaps that's a good thing. I mean, we should see it in perhaps another level of group selection, survival of the species. We can't have a group that gets too maladapted in this way. Otherwise, the whole species will die out. So perhaps it's a good thing that once the group reaches a certain level of wealth and success, you get these childless people. They cause the group, which has become what would be maladaptive at the species level, to contract, and thus the species carries on. Okay, a second thing is that they don't have a stake in the future. Okay, you can say, well, they might have nephews or nieces, perhaps, but in general, they don't have a stake in the future. And so this is going to make them more individualistic as well, and thus cause the society to become less ethnocentric. The third problem is a mismatch thing. They may misdirect their maternal or paternal instincts in a maladaptive way. Now, in one way they can do this is, of course, through cats or whatever, you know, the cat lady. But another way, I'm afraid, and you see this with Angela Merkel, is misdirecting it towards young boys who come from Syria and bringing them into the society, which is going to reduce the intelligence of the society and bring the society into sort of chaos and whatever. But perhaps it could be argued that at the species level, the collapse of a society like that is a good thing, because if the whole species became like that, then the species would die out. So again, perhaps it's part of, as it were, almost a broader evolutionary plan that they behave like this. Now, I'm not saying, when I say that people that don't have children, I mean, of course, you can, as I've looked at in other videos, you do get the group-selected childless. You do get the group will survive under conditions of Darwinian selection better if it has a small, optimum, childless caste who are highly group selected, and who the geniuses, the priests, whatever, who help to make the group more ethnocentric, or who help the group to be more dominant and to expand through their inventions or whatever. So you can pass on your genes indirectly by being childless. But these are a very small minority of people. In general, at levels of high civilization, as we've seen, it is intelligence and this sort of thing which seems to predict not wanting to have children. And I wonder if it's part of a broader survival of the group, and indeed survival of the species mechanism, which is why this happens. And so in that sense, it could be argued that Angela Merkel does have a part to play, not in the survival of our group — she's obviously destroying our group — but in the survival of our species. Well, I hope this is a bit of interest, and if it has, feel free to drop me a few Pfennigs or Deutschmarks on Subscribestar, PayPal, or the other one, Patreon, that's the one. And do get in touch if you have any questions. Someone asked me to do this, and so if you've got any ideas, do get in touch. And I will be speaking in Norway soon, and so if you're in Norway on 2nd November, then do come along. And goodbye, and be fruitful and multiply.